KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now, here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
Oh my god, it's the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show with Alon.
And game designer Ara.
And Rich.
We're here for another week. Head over to chatterboxgameshow.com if you want to learn more about the radio show. I mean, we've got that there website. And you can even chat live with us during the show if you'd like, and if we're paying attention, which I will start to do in just a minute here for the people who are listening live. Of course, you can also email us too, Ara or Alon at chatterboxgameshow.com if you want to talk to Rich. I guess just send us an email. We'll tell Rich that you tried to email him.
If you have any special messages for Rich, any at all.
We
send them to me, too.
We actually got two emails regarding you on last week's show, yeah.
Because I'm right?
Maybe not. May have been in opposition to what you had to say.
I didn't get these emails.
Well, we'll read them later on in the show. Just remind me.
That's fantastic.
The emails are in opposition to me.
Yeah, well, you know, you
it's not like somebody sitting there going, man, I really agree with him. I'm going to email him. It's like when you disagree.
I get agreement emails.
Yeah, we
do. I get like 12 a day.
Pen doesn't count.
But
okay, six.
But we do. Well, you do bring a special flavor of stupidity to the show that
stupidity?
We enjoy.
Stupidity.
Yeah.
More like you're wrong.
Listen, I just think that you represent the average gamer. Should I say that? That's not really true.
No, I'm not even close to the average gamer.
The fanboy gamer, and we need you on the show. I want you.
How am I a fanboy gamer?
But sometimes the things that you say upset our intelligent listeners, and that's when we actually get emails from them, which is rare because usually we get the emails from the other
types of listeners.
I think it
just upsets them because it challenges them to think.
Well, listen, you just remind me, and later in the show...
Okay, well, you got the challenging part, right?
Well, later in the show, we'll open up the listener mailbag and talk about that. Now, I got an email this morning, actually, from Penn, asking us to play Pure. Now, unfortunately, I only got the email this morning yesterday, and I didn't have time today to actually play the demo that he wanted us to play.
Yeah, he actually asked an interesting question.
Yeah, you have had the chance to play.
Asked. Thank you.
So you had to play Pure.
Yes, I did play Pure.
And it's an ATV game, surprisingly not made by Rainbow Studios.
No, other companies do make ATV games.
That's very strange to me.
It happens.
I thought Rainbow had cornered that market.
It happens.
But I thought they had exclusive rights to all ATV machines.
I can see how you'd think that. Yeah, he actually, interestingly enough, he actually asked the question that was not really related necessarily to puree at all.
Puree?
Oh, it's French, right?
Okay. Yeah, sure.
So do we want to talk about that right now or some other things? Because he's on the phone. He wants to talk to us.
Yeah, let's talk about it. Actually, I want bring him on and let's see if he can phrase his question
before
to our audience.
Before we even start.
Before we even, yes, it's preemptively.
All right, this is awkward. Normally, we don't bring callers on this early in the show, but Penn... You're on the air, man.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's
great.
Up, Penn?
What's up, Penn?
Yeah, I played the Pure demo, and it was a lot of fun, surprisingly. It just came out of nowhere. And
remind me, who makes this? Who makes Pure?
I think it's Buena Vista Games, or at least it's licensed by them, because it has a Disney logo.
Yeah, it's a Disney studio. It's not Buena Vista. It's like Black Some Cliff Somewhere Games.
Buena Vista still exists?
Black Rock, yeah.
Oh, Black Rock. That sounds...
But it's published by Disney.
Yeah.
Disney.
Okay, anyway, that's neither
is
here or there.
Is there blood in it?
Actually, but before we get to the interestingness of Puree, I wanted to ask you, Penn, if we could talk a little bit about the question you actually asked us on the emails.
Yes.
Do you remember what it was?
I was asking why don't more racing games have a track editor? Like, for example, the big deal in Pure is that you can edit your vehicle, which to me makes absolutely no difference. Like, that's the least important thing you can do.
You can edit it? Like what? Like, you change the stickers? That's a big deal?
Yeah, change parts and, like, all this mechanical stuff that I know nothing about in this purely arcade game. Yet the one thing that I would want to do, which is, you know, create big jumps and stuff.
Do you have any examples of racing games where you can make your own track? Because there are a couple.
Excitebike 64.
Excitebike 1.
Well, specifically 64 because I mean, in Sightbite 1, it was fun, but it was very limited. So
there was another game on the NES that was a motorcycle racing game, and I cannot remember the name of it right now.
Not Excitebike.
It was a motorcycle racing
Mach
game.
Mach Rider.
Exactly. Yes, that's the name.
Where your I don't even know what kind of vehicle it is. Your Mach Riding vehicle explodes into pieces that all go to the edges of the screen and then come back together.
But I mean, that was a fairly complete track editor. I mean, considering the game was simplistic, right?
Yeah.
But it was a very complete track editor, considering this, at least the parameters of the game.
Yeah. Well, here's the reason why I think we don't see that much stuff, especially nowadays. And one of the reasons I think is because
art assets.
Well, yeah. There's that, right? Most, for example, Puree. I'm just guessing because, and I didn't work on the game or make it or know anything about it, really.
But you inherently know everything about making ATV games because you worked at Rainbow for so long.
Well, you know, I'm just gonna make assumptions and pretend I'm right. So basically, you know, what they do in a lot of games, especially those types of games, is that they don't make the tracks in a modular way, right? And in order to have an editor, you have to, at least for the purposes of making the editor, you have to, you know, have pieces of tracks that come together modularly. And a lot of modern games don't do that at all. And so that would, in order to even have an editor in the first place, you would kind of have to completely change how you're architecting your game in the first place to accommodate that.
Penn, did you ever play Trackmania?
No, because my PC is too terrible to play that game.
All right. Well, you should play Trackmania. I played the very first one on the PC for a while, and it had a fairly impressive track editor on it. So I was very happy. Because the game, it wasn't like Mach Rider, where it lets you make turns and loops and whatever,
yeah.
But then still was this crappy 8-bit racing game, right?
Well, Excitebike 64 got around this problem by making the level creator only for an indoor arena.
Uh-huh.
So you had limited assets, but it was still just as fun. And I wouldn't mind if, you know, like a game like Burnout, while it's built in a city, I wouldn't mind a closed track builder that I can mess around with, because then it's sort of like, I mean, I'm a little bit of a conspiracy theorist in that I believe that the reason that those aren't included is because you won't have a reason to buy the next one.
Burnout 3 was
the best one, and if it had a track editor, I would not be playing.
It's a conspiracy, because I hate black people.
Here's another reason. here's another non-conspiratorial reason is because another thing is that, okay, let's assume that you've built your game in a modular way, so you have all these modular track pieces, right? Well, it's even harder. I mean, the things that make a lot of tracks interesting are a lot of the subtleties in the way the track's composed. So it's like, you know, the palette that you'll usually get with an editor is going to be rather rudimentary unless they really go to extremes and give you this ginormous palette, right? And then that has its own host of problems. If they let you build, you know, a track in three dimensions, so you actually have height variation, which you'd probably have to do because that's one of the things that makes tracks interesting, that makes it even more difficult because, you know, you're going to make a circuit ostensibly, so now it has to come back together, and now, you know, if you have to, you know, put your pieces in ways that they only, like, vary in, you know, certain modular differences in height, and I don't know, I think it just quickly becomes complex. Not that it's not possible, right? I mean, obviously,
yeah,
there's like PC
the
games that do that, right? But I just think that the way they make games now, it's just not, it's not a focus.
Not for consoles.
I find it in first person shooters all the time, and I'm never that interested in like making my own levels in first person shooters. I prefer the very well made, you know, level designer levels as opposed to fan made levels. But racing tracks, there's like tons of potential there and infinite replayability.
See,
and with a game like Pure, as much as I would have, like, I stopped playing Burnout 3 because I eventually did get bored. You have no choice. Eventually, you just get bored of it.
Yeah. See, this is one of the rare instances when I totally agree with you. I would love to see more track editing or just level editing options in games. Unfortunately, that's normally relegated just to PC. I want to talk a little bit more about this. Basically, just agree with the both of you as soon as we get back. So stay on the phone, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Look, Welcome back, folks. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio. And we're talking... Penn's still on, right?
You still
with us, Penn?
Yeah, he's even on the air with us right now.
All right. We've been talking to Penn. We've been talking about...
Puree.
And...
Puree. An ATV racer published by Disney.
Editors.
Yeah, and so...
level editors for games.
The question posed to us...
Customizer tracks.
The question posed to us by Penn15 was... why we don't see more track editing options in games.
Yeah, I've said my piece.
Now, right now we're specifically talking about racing games, but I would extend this to just level editors in games on consoles.
Yeah.
Because we've seen it extensively in the PC, we've seen it a little bit on consoles. Like, I think Far Cry on the consoles lets you edit levels. A lot of first-person shooters let you do it, but not so much console side.
Few of them do. I think Time Splitters
necessarily. Time Splitters, you could create full maps, but there's limits to it.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I mean, when it comes, that stuff is available for consoles. Generally speaking, you get very, very rudimentary options.
Yeah.
And it's because, you know, it takes time to make these things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think that most of the population is interested in investing 40 hours a week for a few weeks to make an awesome map.
Nor try to do it with a controller.
Or a level.
Yeah. Well, that's the beauty about the PC. It's so open that when you make a level, you can transfer it to somebody else very easily. You can store your files on whatever the hell you want to store them
on. Right, right. And on our forum, you know, FOPO was saying how, okay, well, there's Unreal 3, and they have Unreal Editor, right?
Yeah.
And for things like that, right, Epic uses Unreal Editor to make their own levels. So it's literally a designer tool made for professional designers.
And... I think as you see the consoles gear more and more towards just being PCs, like they all have USB ports now, they all can use mice and keyboard if the developers want them to be able to use mice and keyboard. I think Unreal on the PS3 can use a mouse and keyboard. Am I wrong about that?
Yeah, you can.
You can?
Yep.
At least on the PS3. I don't know about the Xbox 360.
Well, it's not out for the 360 yet, is it?
Unreal Tournament is, yeah.
I thought it wasn't out yet.
No, my roommate had it a long time ago.
I
could be wrong.
I thought it came out later. It doesn't really matter.
It did come out later, but I'm pretty sure
it doesn't really matter. Just buy it on PC if you want to play it.
Yeah, but anyway, so as they become more and more like PCs and have storage on board and have access to that storage, then it's much more likely to see these editors.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to... But I think even in Unreal Ed, the PC editor, I think, correct me, maybe someone on the chat room will correct me if I'm wrong, but you can export for the PS3, but you can't use the tool on the PS3 itself.
Well, no, and the tool has historically been very buggy, right? And always need patches and lots of caveats.
It's a proprietary tool, so that's their nature. But you know, Unreal Ed is really the Cadillac of game designing tools.
I think that you guys might be sort of overthinking.
It's not possible to overthink.
you're overthinking like what the amount of editing that one would need to make it fun. Like, I use the example of Midnight Club. They're basically like giant cities, so to edit that would be insane. That would be impossible because it's not a closed track. However, they found this clever way where you just get to change the waypoints, which it isn't as satisfying as a level editor, but it still gives a lot of life to the game because now you can make your own racetrack without having to mod anything in the city. And you look at a game, again, on the Nintendo 64, Perfect Dark, where if you beat certain levels at certain times, you unlock what essentially equal mods to the game that you can change aspects so that when you play through single player, it's completely different. And I'm pretty sure that most game engines could handle you maybe changing the enemies or changing enemy placement without the game completely going to hell.
No, you could probably... I mean, those kinds of modifications are cool if that's your bag. You know, that's cool.
And we're definitely taking to an extreme because the examples of good level editors are really extreme, like Unreal Editor.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. Something like Trackmania, I think, is a really good example because it's a very fun game that has a lot of ability to make an interesting level as opposed to the first example, which was Mach Rider, that's very simplistic, right? But, of course, that game's 20 years old. Trackmania is much newer. It was a very simple editor, and part of that is they knew off the bat that we're going to make this game where a lot of the content is going to be developed by the community. It's very much like what EA and Maxis, rather, within EA, has decided. Like, they're all about the Web 2.0, and Sony's moving in that direction, too. And this is a great topic because I wanted to find a way to talk about Little Big Planet, because I'm so excited about Little Big Planet, right?
Oh.
And as soon as that game comes out, I think you're going to see a lot more games start using the concept of level creation or just content creation by users on consoles in addition to PC.
If it's as good as they say it,
it's going to be very popular. I mean, hell, they're even making a pack-in Europe.
I think you should apply to be like an evangelist for that game.
A lot of people will be evangelists for that
game. You should send them an invoice,
but
at least.
What they've done is they've developed the infrastructure to make it a useful option. So you've got level editing, but it's not just you on your one machine. Didn't Uniracers have a level editor on it? I don't know.
I seem to remember something
Uniracers
along those lines.
Uniracers is awesome, though.
Yeah, I think it did. But like, you could only, with those old school games, you can just edit it for your own machine, and sometimes you can't even edit it and then come back because the machine couldn't, or the medium couldn't even save it.
Right. Like those save and loads on the old NES games that never worked, no matter what you did.
So now, with a game like Little Big Planet, it really developed the editor. It built the game from the ground up, knowing that it was going to be content creation by the users. And then beyond just creation, it's developing a community for the content that they've created. So you're going to have the leaderboards. You're going to have, I don't know if it'll have awards for the best ones or whatever, but I think they are. They've already decided they're going to have some competition, some 24-hour coding or development competition, some camp somewhere.
Have you guys not heard about this? I've heard about it.
So you're going to have some 24-hour thing where they're just going to say, make the best levels you can, and one of them is going to make it into the game as a downloadable thing. And my
Come with levels?
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, it just seems like the whole thing they're doing is like, here's a tool, now do whatever you want with it.
Yeah, and that's awesome.
But it's
just
not like an actual game. No, it's just like a editor
it
thing.
Is. They're going to have some games with it. I think they might even have some boss battles.
It's only limited to platforming. That's my only problem.
It just looks so bad.
But, I mean, that's the game, right? Someone else will come up with another game. You might even have the same company come up with a different concept, but using the same,
backbone
structure. No.
I'd like another 2D, you know, Ninja Gaiden game, but with Little Big Planet, I'm not going to be able to do that because it's rated, you know, E for everyone, so it's nothing but, you know, friendly little cute animals.
Consider this a stepping stone to what else is going to be there. As long as it's successful, there's going to be other games that allow content creation and level editing for just other concepts, right? There's not a lot of attacking going on in Little Big Planet.
I mean,
I don't think there's any other than a little slap to your friend.
I think it's a step forward for content creation, user-created content on the consoles. But, I mean, user content has been, like, at the forefront since Half-Life came out on PCs.
No, it's been on the back burner because it's only been on Half-Life on the PC.
No, it's user-created content has been, like, the thing on PCs for quite a while. Like, considering Counter-Strike and Day of Defeat were both user-created mods, which are some of the most popular games online for first-person shooters when they came out. They were more popular than Half-Life itself, and they were completely user-created modifications. I mean, user-created content has been the thing on PC for a while.
But those were very technical and unreachable to people like me.
No, exactly. I mean, those people are like, you know, a group of 15 guys that are just huge nerds that created an awesome modification.
Actually, I think Counter-Strike was one nerd. One left-handed nerd.
Counter-Strike was like 8 guys, I think. But
all right.
I don't know.
Well, I think Little Big Planet's going to be a big step in the right direction. So although you don't see a lot of it right now, it'll certainly be nice. And hopefully that'll extend to racing games. Because honestly, racing games are probably the easiest type of game to implement a track editor on, or some sort of level editor. Mm-hmm. I understand what Ara is saying, and what I said before about how I wanted to agree with both of you is that Ara is saying these games aren't made modularly because there's so much emphasis placed on art, appearance of the game, that they want to make it perfect, and they're never going to bother just building it in a way that anyone could easily create a level. Although, mm-hmm. it would be great to do that, because then they could create a lot more levels and give you the ability to do it yourself. It doesn't lend itself to being especially interesting in terms of graphics when,
and also though the potential to break a game through an editor, that's also kind of the fun of it, because I did find like little glitches in Excitebike 64 where I could take advantage of the AI and totally cut through the middle of a level, and while I'm sure the designers didn't intend that, it did add a level of fun that, oh look, I figured out a way to kind of cheat the game. But most people aren't going to purposefully cheat themselves, because what's the point of cheating yourself?
Well, yeah,
playing by yourself.
Well, that's one of the things. So they focus on making the main part of the game as beautiful as possible, because that converts to sales, making the game pretty. So they focus on that. So if they're building it that way, they're not going to then also build a level editor. And it's unfortunate, but then you come along with games that actually use their level editor, like Unreal, and they pass that tool on, and that's great. And then you get students, like at UAT, building levels and spending whole semesters on it. And I'm really excited about a little bit of Big Planet, because I know it's going to turn into some people at a school developing a great level, and then that's like a whole mod project. And it gets a lot of exposure because it's a mainstream game. Anyway, thanks a lot for calling, Penn. We'll be right back.
Hello, it's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's a number one. Woohoo!
And we're back. We ran a little late last segment. I hope I was able to not get cut off. I was trying to... Norm says we weren't. So, we're talking about level editing, and specifically I've been talking about Little Big Planet, and Rich is yelling at me saying it's going to be lame. But over the break, Ara was actually getting very heated about this.
Because I think we're... Because this is... I don't know. This is not worth the discussion. Because, Rich, you're like, oh, it's going to be... I don't even know why I'm saying this, because now we're discussing it. Because you're just like, oh, there's a whole bunch of people are going to make garbage. And Rich, you don't understand... You don't seem to understand the fact that 90 to 99% of all media is garbage, as it is.
And that's why there's leaderboards, too, so that you can find the good stuff. And the... What's the saying? Whatever rises to the top, the cream
something
rises.
Something foamy, something
yes,
lightweight. Yeah.
I don't know, bubbles go to something the... I don't know.
High-fat content.
So... the good games will be noticed, and the crap that everybody, including like me and you, would make, nobody will see because they're not going to be at the top, so who cares? But we will be able to see good things. And just because the tool is commercial doesn't mean it's bad. Little Big Planet's tool is actually very extensive. And although, as far as I know, they don't allow you to change the physics of the game, like gravity and speed and whatnot, it doesn't make...
Elasticity.
It doesn't make the game uninteresting. Because the tools are so developed that, you know, you can create gates and you can create, there's swings and things built in and all sorts of stuff you can build. And platform mechanic is basically the most traditional gaming mechanic there is. So it's a good idea that they started there. People have been doing shooters for a long time now, level editing within shooting games, but that's lame.
And it's not just level editing on shooters, though.
But this
I mean, maybe on consoles, but I'm saying, like, I don't know.
I'm very excited about it, and people have heard me talk about it on the radio show a lot. I'm very excited. But originally, all of this came out from a question about Pure and level editing and Pure, and I know Ara had a couple of things to say about Pure, and then we want to get to Scott,
yeah,
our other caller who's waiting.
Let's take
patiently.
The call first.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I feel bad Scott has to wait so long.
But Norm is not. Let's see if I can figure out how to get this action going on.
this is what we call great
press
radio.
Press buttons and then accidentally hang up on them.
All right, Scott, you're on the air.
Apparently not.
This is what we call even better radio. Only the highest quality.
It
radio
seems our
here.
Listener put us on hold. That's fine.
That's so, okay. Now the tables have turned. Apparently. All right. I'm going to talk about Pure.
Okay.
Okay. So now, full disclosure, of course. Now, I think the game comes out tomorrow. So okay. I've only played the demo. But once again, as usual, I'm just going to assume that the demo.
It comes out sometime between now and next week, because
yeah,
they already
yeah,
just
it's
sent
one of
the
those
games,
weird things.
But
yeah, yeah.
There's no real release date.
So I'm just going to assume that the demo is exactly representative of the real
you
game.
You can go to chatterboxgameshow.com and click on, click on the We're Playing link on the top right, and then we get a little bit of kickback.
That's right.
If
so
you buy it through our website.
You're going to really want to do that as I continue to pan this game.
Well, I should just mention that there's so few ways to support Chatterbox, but one of them is by buying the game that's on our website.
I would totally agree with everybody doing that.
Okay.
Even though I'm going to be in this
Pure.
Game. So, yeah. So, it's like... It's really a shame. This game just very, very much saddens me.
That's funny because Penn was actually saying he really liked it.
Well, of course he would. So... and the main reason is because it's such a beautiful looking game. I mean, the technical accomplishment is absolutely outstanding. The art direction is fantastic. It's smooth. It looks great. It's very polished. Absolutely high production values. Mm-hmm. So now you may be wondering, what's Ara going to criticize?
So it's not as good as a Rainbow ATV game, is basically what you're saying.
No. I'm not making such comparisons.
So what's not good about it if it's pretty?
The cars. Well, they're the ATVs, cars? Right? I just use cars in the generic sense. You know what I'm talking
Vehicles.
About. The ATVs, they drive like Zambonis on ice. I'm just like...
As opposed to Zambonis not on ice?
Well, I have to say on ice because... you know, they don't. You're on dirt ostensibly, but no, it feels like you're just slipping away. No matter what you do,
what if
you can't really. One of the worst things about it is it feels so indirect to actually control your vehicle. And so I started thinking about this, and I'm like, why is this so crazy? Why can't I feel like I'm actually steering this thing? And then I realized I noticed something. I was like, they don't have a speedometer on the screen.
Speedometer.
Good, because a speedometer is useless in a video game anyway.
I wonder why, and that's absolutely not true. But
well, unless it's trying to be some sort of simulation.
And that's
if
also absolutely not
game.
True. But let's not digress. So I started thinking, now, why would they do this? Why would they not give you any indication of how fast you're going? And I realized that the reason why is because they're doing all kinds of shenanigans behind the scenes, and by not showing your direct speed, they're trying to obfuscate these shenanigans. Now, the next question you'll be asking is, Ara, what are these shenanigans?
That is exactly my next question.
And once again...
Ara, what are these shenanigans?
Well, I'm glad you asked. I'll tell you.
And door number one.
And once again, I'm making enormous assumptions here, but I'm pretty sure they're doing this, so I'm just going to continue to pretend I know what I'm talking about. The first thing is that they actually boost your speed at various points in the game, just automatically, without you actually telling yourself, you know, to use your boost to go faster. And that's one thing. Another thing that they do, which is really weird, is that I was also thinking about, well, why is the steering feel just so indirect? It just feels like you can't make any precise movements whatsoever. And then I noticed when you're driving on this track, there's all kinds of these kinds of, you know, forks in the roads and alternate paths you can take. And just driving in a stable way just seems very, very difficult. And then I realized that they seem to actually be using some kind of magical magnets to push you, seriously, towards the path that you were going on. And in fact, if you start playing this and start thinking of it in those terms, I think that you can actually feel what I'm talking about here. So they actually put in all these devices that are kind of like assisting you to steer around the track, it feels like, artificially, because... the handling is just horrendously bad, and the Zamboni reference comes from the fact that basically it just feels like no matter what you do, you're limited to like a very, very slow rate of turn in the attitude of your vehicle, right? So if you're facing the wrong way, it doesn't matter how fast you're going, the Zamboni is going slowly rotating to correct your direction. And
you think that's because it's a Disney game intended for everybody to play and be accessible?
Well, here's the thing. Yes, I thought about this a little more, and I was like, you know, it seems like they've been taking the accessibility factor to an absurd extreme, which is that they don't even trust the player to have the hand-eye coordination to directly steer something. They have to add in all of these shenanigans to make sure that weird things don't happen, and so I think the result is that the player feels like, oh, I'm going fast and I'm, you know, going back and forth on this track and I'm steering and I'm doing all this stuff, when there's just so many assists going on that in reality you're doing much, much little, much less than you think you are. It's like the game feels like it's playing itself half the time.
And I gather that's not a good thing?
And no. And then I thought even more about it, and I came to the conclusion that... Now, lately, I seem to be thinking of everything, maybe it's because of this political BS going on, in terms of, this is like a liberal game design. This is like, we're going to steer for you, and we're going to make your vehicle go faster for you, because we don't trust you to figure out how to steer on your own. We won't give you the tools to learn how to steer. We'll do the steering ourselves. We'll give you the steering food stamps.
Okay.
And I think that's just stupid. I think that real accessible game design is one where you actually give the player facility to not only control directly, but at that point it becomes a skill game. This kind of approach to making a game throws skill out the door. It's almost like they're trying to minimize skill in order to increase accessibility, and I think that's crap.
Well, on that note, I'll point out that Scott's back on the phone. We're going to bring him in the
Scott.
Next segment.
But all right. That's his punishment for getting
off the phone. We also have to read the Rich Hating email. So we've got a tight...
That's true.
Tight schedule.
I'm done.
You're done.
Go nuts.
How did we manage to talk about racing games again?
It's my secret trick.
All right. Well, we'll be back after the break. And then, of course, I'll try not to mention UAT for a second time today. Now, you guys should go to uat.edu to learn about what they offer. And you know what? Go there and become a student and be the first student to make a mod your whole semester. A little Big Planet mod. Isn't it good to, like, pay $2,000?
You can't really make a mod. You can just make a level.
Whatever. Level editor.
Mod it.
I guess you're right. We'll be back.
And welcome back. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio, where we talk about the commie bastard liberal game developers.
Is that what we do?
Yeah, that's what I just did.
Communism and liberalism is completely different.
What?
Communism and liberalism is completely different.
Don't steal my spot by using rationality on me.
Why are you mixing those together?
Don't you understand satire when you hear it?
No.
Okay. Anyway, let's get back on topic here.
Yeah, we got Scott.
He must be royally pissed right now.
Are we on hold again?
Nah, not really.
Hey, what's up, Scott?
Why are you putting us on hold, man?
Actually, I wasn't. I was talking, but you guys weren't hearing me for some reason.
It's Norm's fault. He had you muted.
Well, you should fix your phone.
No, we can blame Norm.
Okay, we forgive you.
he's trying to yell at me saying he didn't do it. He did. Don't blame him. He's just not at his desk when we want to turn you on. That's fine. He likes to keep his job.
So what's up, Scott?
Yeah.
Anyway... So I'm going to talk a little bit early about the map editor. One point I wanted to make, particularly against Richard's point, was if you think about it, a game is actually, like, even a fully-fledged, you know, box game, all it really is basically a series of mods attached to a larger engine. If you strip out the weapons, maps, levels, vehicles, player characters, and insert new ones, give them a different script, you know, go from point A to point B instead of going from point C to point D, you basically created an entire new game, right?
I'm not sure, like, I'm following you.
Well, maybe. I mean, assuming that the game was built in that manner, of course.
Well, what? Technically they all really are. It's an engine and content attached to the engine.
There's data eventually at some point. But I'm saying that, like, I mean, not all games are necessarily created as modularly and... you know, give the kind of access to data to users that, like, you know, say Unreal does.
No, that's not what I was saying. Not really. What I was trying to say is whether or not the level editor is proprietary or if it's been publicly distributed, the content attached to the editor is essentially just mods to the editor. If you think about it, the amount of effort put into a mod, if assuming they would be able to put as much effort as a development company is. Given the same amount of effort, the end result would be the same whether or not it's on a public editor or a private editor, provided the editor has enough power to do the same case in either way.
Yeah, you could think of it that way.
Bit of a hand-wave way of saying it, but like saying a full-fledged game is better than a series of mods is... And under the assumption that the editor is publicly available and fully open, which very few are.
The only point I was making was that even now, actually, some games are made where, you know, they don't even... They just do it in the old school straight-up programmer style, where they don't even have tools. Sorry?
I was just flying to Rich.
Oh, you're talking to Rich.
Yeah, I was responding to what Rich said about full-fledged games versus or actually paying as well.
Well, I just kind of ignore what he said. Yeah.
Another thing that Lon said is actually kind of odd. When you said that people are trying to move towards adding user-generated content into the console, Sony, yes, is pushing that quite heavily. Nintendo, really not. And Microsoft is actually going the opposite way with it. Microsoft at this point in time is even talking of, well, it kind of went belly up recently, but Microsoft for a while even wants every PC game published under Game for Windows Live to actually have either no or very, very limited map editor, and that every content required certification before it was released publicly for a PC game, essentially killing the mod community. Actually, Epic Games is really peeved off about that one, having searched for certification for PC games.
Why do you think they're trying to do that, Microsoft, that is?
Because
they don't want to get sued for the hot copy.
They want to make money.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, it all depends. I guess it all depends on like how extensive the tool is, right? I mean, if you can, all you can do is make a composition of rooms. Like, what are you going to do? Draw rooms in the shape of a sex organ?
Well, I mean, look at Halo 3. I think is the perfect example of what Microsoft wants. You can use the maps that are there, but you can edit the content inside the map. But if they let you just make maps, they would never be able to sell map packs ever.
Yeah, that's one thing as well. They want to. They're trying to get people into a mentality right now to do microtransactions. It didn't work for Games for Windows Live, as we all know. They even dropped gold certification now for Games for Windows Live. They want people to be able to have it for free because, I mean, very few developers are going to tell their customers to pay Microsoft because they get an extra API, which they probably won't use anyway. The major issue, though, and this has pretty much gone down the tubes, which is good, is that even on the PC, Microsoft wanted certification. One reason, because they don't want ESRB to start suing them for someone using their editor to make, you know...
whatever.
Genitalia of some sort or whatever, even though sport didn't really help that, but anyway. Example is Halo 2's editor. The example map they had for the editor was physically impossible to make because you cannot import the gravity lift in Halo 2 Vista, and yet the example map required gravity lifts to get from point A to point B. So their own example map was not possible with the editor kit provided, because Microsoft locked it down at the end. The traditional editor had, like, you know, 30-some or whatever commands. The editor we saw had, like, 5 or 6. It was cook BSP or cook textures, and that's it. Which basically is the level geometry, or the materials going on top of level geometry for whoever is listening that's not into the technology terminology, right?
Gotcha.
You're starting to bore me at this point, man.
Yeah. So basically, if you wanted to make a level, you couldn't, like, let's say you want to place a tree in it, it had to be attached to the level. It cannot be a removable object. You can, for example, knock over with physics, or it couldn't be just placed exactly at a level. It had to be physically attached to geometry, which was pain.
Okay.
So, yeah, Microsoft was trying to play with that, which is kind of wrong, but anyway.
Well, all right. There's always PCs.
That's what he's saying. That's Halo 2 on PC. Microsoft.
Oh, okay. Well, Unreal.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I mean, no, they're trying to kill that too, but that's why Unreal Tournament 3 is not Games for Windows Live, but anyway.
Yeah.
It took too long, apparently. Alana had to say something, so
talking to you guys. We have to get to some other stuff. So thanks for calling. But you know, I didn't know Microsoft was actually cutting down and stuff like that. Maybe I wasn't paying attention to them. But
I didn't realize that they were doing this.
Luckily,
exactly,
Microsoft doesn't rule the world yet. And whether or not they want it, it's there. And games with user content or user created content is still on their system, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Sims releases on PCs, on Windows, and is very popular. So whether or not they necessarily sanction it, it's still there.
A lot of Sims content isn't user-created, though.
A huge amount of Sims content.
Okay, let's not get into this argument now.
Expansion packs every year that are developer-created.
Do you want to read the Everybody Hates Rich
emails? Let's
rapidly.
All right. Well, unfortunately, I was reading one on this here iPhone and magically erased one.
Well, while you're looking for that,
but
I think...
everyone hates you, so there's another one.
I do have an announcement to make, by the way.
Go for it.
So next week, next episode, we're going to have a special guest. We're going to have the principals of Big Bang Entertainment on. And I think it's going to be a fascinating conversation. We're going to talk about how to make your own game studio.
Okay. They're going to be here, right?
They're going to be here. We don't know who exactly, but some of them.
How can we not know who?
It's they like to be mysterious.
Chris and Ken.
All right. Look what I've done.
Well, one of the guy who erased, wanted me to let you know that he is working on a program to allow you to punch someone through the internet.
Sweet.
So, yeah. And this other email, we're just going to have to get to next week because it's far too in-depth.
Okay.
I'll forward it to you so you can
so
gander.
I can read it.
Yeah, but next week we'll have a guest. Remind me, though, and I'll still make fun of you uh-huh. on next week's show, even with a guest. So
and then the guest can agree with me.
Exactly. Don't forget, head over to chatterboxgameshow.com. Make sure to buy all the stuff through the Amazon link, and maybe we'll make 3 cents. Yeah.
Maybe two now after my rants.
It'll be grand. All right. Thank you very much, everybody, for listening. Don't forget, chatterboxgameshow.com. Email Ara and Alon individually at chatterboxgameshow.com. And if you have questions for Rich, well, just send them karmically, and I'm sure he'll hear them. See you next week.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your bases are belong to us.